On today's episode of Locked Up with History, we will be looking at the murder of Ginger Tommy in Carlton in 1918. Who was responsible for the brutal murder of this young woman and who managed to escape justice until this day? Stay tuned.
Warning. This podcast contains discussions of some potentially distressing topics. Listeners, please be advised. Come with us for true and tall tales unsurpassed, with stories from Victoria's dark colonial past. Spirits, executions, ghosts, murders and ghouls. These are the stories they don't teach you at school. All these twisted tales of mystique and mystery coming to you now on Locked Up With History.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Locked Up With History, Episode 6. My name is Deb Robinson, and on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the unsolved murder of Roma Smith, known as Tommy or Ginger Tommy, who was found brutally murdered in her own bed in Cumberland Place, Carlton, in 1918. The perpetrator of this brutal attack has never been brought to justice. But first, let's have a look at who Roma Smith was in life, before that life was prematurely brought to a close in August 1918 when she was just 30 years old. Roma was supposedly born in Richmond in 1888 to Richard Thomas, a saddler, and his wife Teresa Thomas, née Brown. But interestingly, we cannot find out anything about them. There are no birth records for Roma. No marriage or death certificates for her parents. I even tried to find an advertisement for a saddling business through the newspapers of the day, but again, it was another dead end. But all this leads me to believe that perhaps Roma was not completely truthful about her origins. Given her later occupation and lifestyle, this is perhaps not so surprising. All we have to go on to get a picture of Roma's life are the newspaper and inquest accounts following her death. These give Roma's previous name as Roma Rita Thomas. She was described as a barmaid in a variety of city hotels, where she gained her nickname of Tommy or Ginger Tommy, alluding to her red hair. Newspaper reports stated that she was a chorus girl in several musical comedies, such as Singly. Hopefully I've pronounced that right. This information came from a few group photographs that were found on the wall of the kitchen in her home at Cumberland Place. These were something that the police had found on the wall. For years, I've tried to find one of these photos, but again, to no avail. If you happen to know where one is, please let me know. The first record we could find for Roma was an electoral roll entry from 1912 when she was living in Lygon Street in Carlton with her occupation listed as a barmaid. Not surprising. But prior to this, she doesn't seem to exist anywhere in the official records. I have looked, believe me, but still have not been able to find anything. Roma's life as a barmaid brought her into contact with the undesirables, the criminal element, but at least it was a way of her earning a living as a single woman in 1918 in Melbourne. But then World War I began in 1914, and with it came changes to lifestyles that many Melburnians had enjoyed up until that point, and one of these would affect Roma directly. The Victorian Parliament introduced the Intoxicating Liquor Temporary Restrictions Act. Now, this restricted hotel hours from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. and was designed to increase workers' productivity and encourage enlistment in the army. But this was the beginning of what became known as the 6 o'clock swill, and it was a rule that was not overturned until 1966, so quite a long time. At the time, Roma was working at the old Palace Hotel in Bourke Street, which had a reputation for being synonymous with all that was putrid in society, a home for robbery and violence, loathsome lewdness and depraved drunkenness, as it was put in one of the local papers. It was said that the interior was decorated with mirrors and screens to prevent police from witnessing the barmaids providing, additional services to the customers. The barmaids themselves were described as one of the lowest class and half inebriated themselves. Once the 6 o'clock closing commenced, the nightlife around Bourke Street vanished almost overnight. And I am sure so did Roma's income, leaving her to rely on prostitution to pay her way. In 1914, Roma would marry Peter Samuel Smith, a sailor from New South Wales. The pair married in the manse of the Congregational Church in Gore Street, Fitzroy, on the 14th of August 1914. It was later stated that Roma and Peter had only met that day. We do know from witnesses that after the wedding night, Peter returned to his ship and his life in New South Wales, while Roma returned to being a barmaid in Victoria.
For a fascinating look at life in a colonial prison, visit Geelong Jail Museum. Situated just over an hour from Melbourne in the heart of Geelong, it's Victoria's most intact and longest continually operating colonial prison. For information, search for Geelong Jail or call 1300 865 800.
By August 1918, Roma was living at 28 Cumberland Place in Carlton. Now, Cumberland Place has changed considerably since Roma's time. In 1918, it was described as a narrow alleyway running off at Lincoln Square. Now, in the 1800s, Carlton was quite a respected suburb, being so close to Melbourne. But things changed with the economic depression of the 1890s. Once grand homes became boarding homes, overcrowding became a problem, and along with it came declining house conditions and public health. Carlton became a suburb known for its poverty and hardship, and along with that came crime and depravity. The house at 28 Cumberland Place was an old two-storey building built in the 1860s, next to a vacant allotment on which another house had been recently demolished. Steps led up to the entrance door, which opened into Roma's bedroom, and an adjoining room was used as a kitchen and for general purposes. The two upstairs rooms were rented separately, although at the time of the murder they were both empty. Roma had moved into the house during February 1918, paying rent of 10 shillings and sixpence per week, which is equivalent to about 45 bucks today. At the time, the average weekly wage was only $127 a week. Roma was 7 weeks behind when she died. Roma was known in the area by her neighbours and was well liked. She was described as being quiet and never used any bad language, although Roma was quite addicted to drinking. A frequent visitor to her house was Thomas Norman Violet. Now, Roma and Violet had an off-and-on-again relationship, which by all accounts was incredibly toxic. They had known each other for about 2 years and had lived together for a period of time in Little Gun Street in Carlton. Violet had been brought up by the Christian Brothers Orphanage in Collingwood under his real name of Nesbitt, before becoming a jockey and then enlisting in the army in 1915. He was medically discharged due to an injury to his arm and arrived back in Australia in June 1916. Violet then took up a position as a postal employee at the General Post Office in Melbourne. Violet met Roma before he went away to war while she was working as a barmaid. He also enjoyed her services as a prostitute the night he met for £1 before heading off to Broadmeadows and the army camp. By 1917, they were living together in the Little Gun Street house in Carlton, but it didn't last long, and they were in separate residences at the time of the murder, although this pair still apparently spent quite a lot of time together. But it was not a happy relationship. During the investigation into Roma's murder, there were several accounts of Violet's brutal treatment of Roma, some requiring hospital treatment. A lot of this behaviour seemed to coincide with Violet's payday and his excessive drinking. Violet had been seen breaking down the door of Roma's house when she locked him out by one of the neighbours about 6 months before the murder. Another neighbour reported seeing Violet catch Roma by the throat and knock her about. Yet another account stated that he had hit Roma on the head with a glass lampshade, putting her into the hospital, requiring stitches. And yet another stated he had threatened to throw a boiling pan of potatoes and onions or boiling oil all over her. But a week before the murder, Thomas Violet turned up at Roma's in a foul mood. When Roma got out of bed and then got back into it, he was heard to yell at her, "What capers have you been up to?" Roma explained why she'd gotten out of bed, and Violet's response was to hit her over the head with a nightshade and threaten to rip her up like the Germans do. Although during the inquest, a Germans was replaced with a, shall we say, much more graphic phrase.
You're listening to Locked Up With History.
Now, at about 3 p.m. on the afternoon of August 21st, 1918, Thomas Violet entered the front door of 28 Cumberland Place. Noticing the green front blinds were still closed, he walked past Roma lying in the bed with the red eiderdown quilt up over her head, leaving her legs and her feet exposed. Violet remarked, "Hello, drunk again. Come on, Roni, get up. It's pretty late." He walked through to the kitchen, fed Roma's little black cat called Teddy, before returning to the bedroom where there had been no response. Violet pulled the quilt down from her head to wake Roma up, and then saw why Roma had not responded. She was dead, with large wounds in her throat. Violet didn't know what to do, and he rushed outside and straight into another neighbour, Lily Matthews, who lived nearby and knew Roma fairly well as well. Violet explained that Roma was dead and her throat was cut. Violet took Lily inside and showed her Roma's body and asked what he should do. Lily said to fetch the police, which is what he did. Violet turned up at the Russell Street police headquarters in an excited state, explaining how he had found Roma's body. Police were dispatched immediately to investigate the murder. Constable Goodson and Detective Holden were the first on the scene. When they arrived, Lily was waiting near the front door. Constable Goodson entered the house with Violet and Lily. Lily pulled the quilt down from Roma's body, and Constable Goodson could see the wounds in her throat. There was also a table knife lying across one of her breasts and her shoulder. It was missing the tip and was stained with blood. Roma was dressed only in a shift, lying diagonally across the double bed on her back, with her head near one of the bedposts. Blood covered the right side of the bed, but there were no spatters on the wall to be noted. A handkerchief with cut marks was found in a pool of blood underneath her neck. Roma's right hand was clenched, lying across her breast, and a safety pin was later found in her hand. There were no defensive wounds on her hands, but there were, however, several contusions on her head. Constable Goodson noted a flagon near the bed, along with a few empty beer bottles in both the bedroom and the kitchen. There were also glasses that smelt strongly of alcohol. Detective Holden noted that it was a clear case of murder. On further searching by the police, a billet of wood was found in the woodpile that had blood and hair on it. A stained razor was found in a drawer, and a woman's handbag was discovered on the fence in the backyard. Detective Hawkins, Sergeant Potter and Dr. Crawford soon arrived. Detective Hawkins took Thomas Violet back to the station to be interviewed. The coroner, Dr. Mollison, after viewing the body in place, had Roma taken to the Melbourne morgue. When the body was removed, the missing tip of the knife was discovered in the bedclothes underneath Roma's neck. Several items were found and removed over the next couple of days in the investigation. A £1 note was found under the mattress of the bed, a common fee for a prostitute. Fingerprints were photographed on empty beer bottles, with one set not being able to be identified as anyone. Now, both the police who'd been in the house and friends of Roma had been all tested with their fingerprints, and it did not match anybody. The knife was identified as coming from Roma's kitchen, and the handkerchief, it was believed by police, had been used to put across Roma's throat before stabbing her to soak up the blood. It was Roma's own handkerchief. Investigations turned to Roma's last known movements on the day before her death, the 20th of August. Roma's friend, Lily Matthews, stated that she last saw Roma around 5:30 p.m. when she left and went home as Roma and Violet were quarrelling. Other witnesses would later say that they saw Lily leave Roma's around 12:30 a.m. the following morning. Thomas Violet said he left Roma's around 6 p.m. to go to work at the post office in Melbourne, although it was questioned later on as to whether he had time at around 6 a.m. when he came home from work to go and do the deed. Violet said that Roma only had 7 shillings on her at the time that he left. Charles Matthews, Lily's husband, said he spoke to Roma around 10:30 p.m. when he was looking for a missing dog. He had bent to look through the keyhole and noted a man sitting at the table. He was unable to describe him properly, but said he was about 5'6" with a dark full-grown moustache, medium build and about 35 to 40 years of age. This tallies in with what other people would later say. Charles told his wife Lily that Roma had a man with her. Roma was seen with an unknown man late on the night before her body was discovered. Roma and the man entered Annie Cleveland's shop about 11 p.m. to buy cigarettes, which the man paid for. Annie noted that Roma's speech was slurred and she was under the influence of alcohol. Another customer in the shop, Jeannie Hilland, had seen Roma and her companion get on the tram near Lonsdale Street and saw that both of them were intoxicated. She described the man also as being between 30 and 40 years of age, medium build with a dark moustache. He was wearing a dark overcoat and a felt hat. Roma was last seen with this unknown man heading back towards her house in Cumberland Place. This was the last time that Roma was seen alive.
If you'd like to visit some of the places featured on Locked Up With History, book in a tour with Twisted History. For the full range of tours and to book, visit twistedhistory.net.au.
Now, Roma was well liked in the neighbourhood, and the hat was passed around to raise enough money for her to have a proper burial at the Melbourne General Cemetery. Several women attended the funeral, and on the coffin was a large wreath from the residents of Cumberland Place. Her paramour, Thomas Violet, however, did not give any money and did not attend the funeral. He would later state that his reasoning for this was that he did not have enough money left after paying for his lodgings and putting his bet on the horses. The inquest into Roma's death began on the 13th of September 1918 before the Deputy Coroner Alexander Phillips at the Melbourne Morgue, with Sub-Inspector Hocking questioning for the police. Dr. Mollison testified that the body was that of a red-haired young woman dressed in a white silk blouse, two singlets and drawers. There was slight post-mortem staining on the back. The right hand was across the right breast with the thumb and first and second fingers stained with blood. The left hand was across her waist. The face was covered with dried blood, although there was some moist blood in the back of her hair and on the back of her singlet. On the left side of her forehead, there were three distinct lacerated and contused wounds, the largest being triangular in shape and measuring about 1.5 inches by 1 inch. The scalp and underlying structures were bruised and it had caused hemorrhaging in the brain as well. The wounds in the neck were about 3.5 inches long and 1.5 inches wide, situated over the larynx. There were four other superficial wounds on the left side of the neck and others that had blended in with the main wound on the right-hand side. The right carotid artery had been severed and the disc between the fifth and sixth vertebrae had been divided, along with one of the vertebrae being broken. The windpipe had been severed and contained bloody mucus. There were bruises noted on her genitals and her right hand, along with one on her buttock that was quite recent. Dr. Mollison believed that Roma had been knocked out with the piece of wood produced and then murdered on the bed with a knife with great violence. He also stated that there had been a number of attempts made to cut her throat. The inquest was adjourned several times for further investigations into some of the witness statements, most notably those of Thomas Norman Violet and Lily Matthews. At one point, Mr. Phillips admonished Violet for laughing at the bruises on Roma's buttock, stating that he hadn't kicked her that hard. Another point of contention was that three other women had identified Lily Matthews leaving Roma's house around 12:30 a.m. and not 5:30 p.m. as she had testified. Despite intensive interrogation by detectives, she would not be swayed from her version of events. On the 22nd of October 1918, Mr. Phillips handed down the decision that Roma Smith had met her death on the 21st of August 1918 at 28 Cumberland Place, Carlton, being found dead and having died from wounds in her throat, inflicted willfully, feloniously and maliciously by some person or persons unknown a few hours previously. I decide that such person or persons are guilty of the willful murder of Roma Smith. On the 12th of December 1918, the Victorian government posted a £200 reward for any information that would lead to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the murder. Quite a large sum in 1918 and unusual for a prostitute. The reward was never claimed and the case remains unsolved until this day. Police believe that the murder may have been committed out of jealousy or perhaps out of rage of being robbed by Roma. Was it Thomas Norman Violet, her on-again, off-again paramour, who finally lost his temper and went too far? Was it Lily Matthews, who was seen leaving many hours after she said, perhaps in a fit of jealousy or for some other reason? Or was it Roma's final client, the man in the blue suit with a moustache who has never been identified? Whoever it was that committed this brutal crime on a young woman struggling to survive, they got away with cold-blooded murder.
Interested in learning more about this episode? join the Locked Up With History Facebook group for more facts and discussions about the dark colonial past of Victoria and beyond.
Now, before we close the book on the murder of Roma Smith, don't forget to check out our webpage at www.lockedupwithhistory.com.au, where all of the previous episodes are, along with some photos for the episodes where we have them. Of course, you can also listen to all of the episodes on your favourite streaming platform. If you have any questions or you would like to discuss any of the episodes, join us over on Facebook and the Locked Up With History group. This is where you can ask me any questions on current episodes or previous ones if you wish. And we, again, you can view any of the media that we do have associated with these episodes. On our next episode, we will be looking at another murder story. This time we'll be going back to 1864, where a man murdered his wife and daughters, sparing his sons. However, within 2 years, only one member of the family was still alive. Until then, see you on the darker side of history.
Information on the story from today's episode, check out the show notes or join the Locked Up With History Facebook group. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.